Welcome to Stoma for Life, the Bowel Cancer Awareness and Life as an Ostomate radio show and podcast. Your host, Rafaela, is here to debunk myths, clear up misconceptions, and help you approach the subject that so many people are afraid to talk about in a positive manner. Listen in for a new perspective. Stoma for Life on UK Health Radio.
Once again, hello. I am so delighted to welcome you to Season 3 of Stoma for Life on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. Looking back at the previous season, I'm still amazed at the stories that were shared and the awareness that was raised around IBD, ostomy life, gut health, and bowel cancer. As a bowel cancer survivor and ostomate myself, this show holds a very special place in my heart. That's why it was such an honour to be invited to St. Mark's Hospital here in London, the National Bowel Hospital, to share my journey. Returning there was deeply emotional, as this was the place where I had my surgery after being diagnosed with bowel cancer just 6 days earlier. I sometimes think of it as the scene of the crime, if you could call it that, the place where I walked in as one person and I came out another, cancer-free and an ostomate. Standing there again, not as a patient, but as a survivor, speaking to a room full of those who have walked similar paths, was profoundly humbling. Yes, they listened to my story, but I also listened to theirs. The room was filled with so much courage, so much resilience and honesty. Each story was unique and each one reminding me that no two journeys are ever the same. This was the first health and well-being event at St. Mark's since the pandemic, and it offered a safe space for survivors and their loved ones to share their fears, their worries, their victories, and moments of joy. One story that truly stayed with me, and it moved a lot of us in the room, was from a participant who couldn't tell his family about his diagnosis to start out with, because in his culture, cancer was seen as a death sentence, one foot in the grave, as he put it. He told us that if he'd had spoken up, his family would have already started dividing his belongings. Now, that moment really stuck with me. It reminded me how deeply personal and complex our coping mechanisms are, shaped by our background, our faith, our families, and our experiences. Healing isn't a one-size-fits-all. It's so unique and individual. And it also showed me just how powerful words can be and how they shape not only how others see us, but how we see ourselves. So to you listening, whether you've just been diagnosed or are in treatment or are living as a survivor, I want to remind you to be kind to yourself, especially in the words you use. Never take ownership of cancer by calling it my cancer. I've said this many times, it's not yours. Rather say my diagnosis instead. I truly had to correct my family and my friends often when they said your cancer. I reminded them, no, it was a diagnosis. I had it. I had cancer, yes, but I don't anymore. Some people can talk openly about their experiences from the very beginning. For others, even talking about it can feel too painful, too real. And that's also okay. Healing isn't linear. It unfolds at its own pace and its own way. What we all agreed on that day, though, was simple and powerful. Talking helps, and finding the courage to do that when you're ready is a step towards healing. So today's episode is dedicated to everybody about to undergo bowel surgery and those that already live life after it. This truly is the start of a new chapter. I often say there is life before surgery and the life after, because so much changes, and sometimes those changes open doors were never imagined possible. Somebody whose life changed in more ways than she could ever have imagined is Caroline Bramwell. Now, Caroline joined me on the show last year, and her story continues to inspire so many. From being diagnosed with ulcerative colitis when her children were small, to undergoing major surgery that led her to a permanent ileostomy, she turned her challenges into triumphs. from a self-confessed couch potato who couldn't swim to a triathlete, author, and speaker. She has shown the world that life after ostomy surgery is not about limits, it's about possibilities. I recently saw something exciting on her Instagram feed and I just knew I had to invite her back. What she's about to share with you will motivate not only ostomates and cancer survivors, but all of us, showing what can be achieved with courage and a fearless heart. So without further ado, welcome back to Stoma for Life, Caroline Bramwell.
Hello, thank you so much. It's lovely to be back.
As I said in the intro, I saw something on Instagram that just blew my mind, and I am not going to be the one sharing it. I actually want to start off with perhaps recapping what this year has been like for you, because like with all my guests, I keep track on what they're doing. I follow them, and you've had some amazing projects that you accomplished, that you did. Perhaps you can just share it for our listeners.
Yes, of course. I think this year has been one of sort of slowly coming back from not doing too much racing for the last couple of years. And this year I was invited by my fearless friend Louise Minchin to take part in an adventure. And what we did as a small group of four of us, we did the hike, bike, paddle challenge in Snowdonia, where we hiked up Mount Shabod, or Mol Shabod for the correct wording, which is one of the mountains in Snowdonia, in that area. So we did a 5-hour hike. Then when we came down off that, we grabbed mountain bikes and we went off for 4 hours, cycling up through the same mountains. And when we finished the 4 hours, then we get onto a stand-up paddleboard. But it's not just one of these single stand-up paddleboards. It's a gigantic one for all of us on one board, which, of course, none of us had done before. So it was just so much fun. I mean, I can't say that the hike and the bike were as much fun because they're just really hard graft. And I did have a few problems with the bike on the way, technical problems. But when we got to the end and we ended up doing 2 kilometres on a stand-up paddleboard together, it was so much fun. And we weren't ever going to be the fastest. I mean, we were the only all-female team competing with some very big, high-branded companies like Berghaus, Specialized. These were big corporate teams of four going up. We were never going to beat them, but we did win the award for the most supportive group, and we were told we got it because we kept laughing so much. So that says it all for us when we're all out. We might take on a challenge, but we make sure to enjoy ourselves out there. And that was probably my big one earlier this year. And then trying to get back into some more training again now.
Yeah. But you said something that's so vital. It's like enjoying it. Because yeah. I think when something like as challenging as what you've been doing becomes a chore or something that you really don't really feel like doing, it's not enjoyable, and you don't perform as well as you want to in any case. But if you're doing it in that setting and keeping the fun aspect, winning an award for it as well, being recognized by it, keeping the spirit up, I think it's just so much more, and it's really rewarding for yourself, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel that you have to enjoy the moment. So for me, trying to cycle a mountain bike up a mountain was really hard. And there were times we were having to push because it was just so steep. And even though it felt tough, we would stop, get a packet of biscuits out and chat. And we just absorbed what was around us. We looked around at the scenery and the environment we were in. And my other three teammates, they don't have stomas, but we can all enjoy the surroundings. And for me as an ostomate to think, wow, I'm up here, I'm doing this. You just live in the moment, really, and enjoy what you can out of life.
Yeah. You know, I think for all of us, especially after, well, in my case, it was cancer surgery, but especially like when you're not, your life changes in a way you couldn't even comprehend. For all those that are perhaps facing ostomy surgery now or have just had it, it's actually so wonderful to see what can be done if you set your mind to it, that there is no limit. It's only the limit in your head, actually.
Yes.
But I think the most important step is to take that first step, that decision of, okay, like in your case, you said, I'm not going to be a couch potato anymore. I'm going to
Absolutely.
do it. And like a very famous brand has in their whoosh logo, just do it. It's so easily said, but it takes so much more.
Yes, yeah, it does. But I think when you vocalize it and you share it with people, you are more committed to doing it. We can live in our heads too much. We can either say, yes, I can do it, yes, I can do it, and you never do, or you go, I can't do that, I can't do that, and again, you never do. The moment you speak it and vocalize it, it becomes real. And that to me is a big part of me making public announcements when I do something, because it's like, I'm committed now. I am allowing everybody to hold me accountable for doing what I've said I'm going to do. So for me, when you vocalize, you're making a commitment to yourself, really. And it, as you say, it doesn't need to be massive. It could be like just do couch to 5K, or it could be for some people just being able to get out of the house. So little things, it doesn't have to be big.
No, exactly. And we should also not compare ourselves to the speed other people are recovering, if they're recovering, or the way other people are living. You have to create your own unique new chapter, new life. But it's
Yes.
all possible because in your case, the sky is the limit. I'm not going to actually say it out loud because I want you to actually announce what is on your list for next year. It's a big, big project, and so I don't know if are you ready to share?
Yes, because here we are. I'm holding myself accountable and I'm letting everybody can hold me to this now. I have secured a place in the world's highest marathon, which is from Everest Base Camp. But it's not just taking the run, it's actually the trek up as well. So I will be trekking up to Everest Base Camp in May. We acclimatise en route, and then we acclimatise at base camp for a couple of days, and then I run a marathon from Everest Base Camp.
Wow. Now, I just want to put this in perspective. I've had friends that have done base camp, so I know a bit about base camp. But if you haven't heard anything about Everest Base Camp, let me just share with the listeners. It's not just a base. Base camp is, I don't know, are you doing it on the south side, Nepal?
I can't remember now. Do you know, I've only committed to it in the last week, so it's like, ah!
But it's approximately 5,364 meters high.
That's
That
correct.
is higher than the highest mountain in Europe.
Yeah.
And that's base camp. So I
Yeah.
think that just that, to put that in perspective, how high that is for where you're going to trek, and then you are going to actually run a marathon there.
Yes. Yeah. From that point, you run a marathon. And I'd like to think it was all downhill, but I know it's not, because there are some ups and downs. But we will be generally running downwards. We're not going to be running up Everest. But yes, we sort of run from there.
Now, tell me, first of all, how did you get that idea? Where did this come from?
Well, I dare I say, when I was on hike, bike, paddle this year, the lady who's leading it is a friend through Louise and through Fearless. And she has now climbed all seven summits in the world.
Wow.
And she's climbed Everest multiple times. She is a mountain leader now. And when we were doing this hike, bike, paddle, she was like throwing this idea around. And being me, I'm like, whoa, sounds good. Sounds like a challenge. And for me, it's always, well, has someone with a stoma ever done it before? And she's been so encouraging. And then somebody else who's going on that trek, who is a nutritionist that I met through another walk of life by pure chance, she's on the trip too. And she kept seeding this idea in my head. So it was all about securing sponsorship, really, for me to make it happen. But I thought, you know what? If a sponsor comes forward, then it's meant to be. And that's what's happened. So it's been funded so that I can actually go on this trip. And hopefully I intend to do some fundraising off the back of it as well, to help support other ostomates to get active in their lives.
Excellent. So it's also all for a good cause. obviously.
Yes. I think, you know, this isn't just about me doing it. I always do things because I want to prove that we can do more. So I've always got other Ostomates in my mind when I do it. They motivate me. If I could do this, think that somebody could do a 5K run. You know, if I do this, people will go, oh, she's done a mountain. Well, I could at least walk up the road. To me, that's my motivation. So to me, it's always about other people.
Well, let me tell you, this morning I went on my little run this morning because anybody listening to the show knows that I've committed to running the 10K Q run in March, and obviously I have to train. So when I was really getting to the final stages, I thought to myself, you know, Caroline is climbing Mount Everest. I can surely run and finish my run this morning. So you're a motivator for me as well, and I surely don't want to compare myself to you, but I think the first step is always the most difficult and the biggest hurdle. But to have somebody like yourself that has accomplished so much as a, well, I'd say a role model, is just so wonderful, you
Yeah,
know?
thank you. Yeah, it matters to me that people get inspired to do their own thing. That's the driving factor for me. It really is to keep inspiring others to do things that they maybe didn't think they could do before. And as you say, it doesn't need to be a marathon. Your 10K, I think that's fantastic that you're doing your 10K. I really do. And I just, you know, I feel really proud and honoured that I've inspired you to do that.
The station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle, and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at ukhealthradio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I'm sure everybody listening who's had ostomy surgery, it's your life before surgery and your life after surgery, because it's so, I mean, it's just so life-changing. And
Yeah.
I don't think any of those things that I'm doing at the moment, I don't think I would have accomplished had I not had the diagnosis and the surgery. I would not have gone to run. I would not have gone to start a radio show and podcast or become a coach for ostomates. Sometimes when you get challenged your most, do you only actually know what's inside you?
Yeah, definitely. I would never have done this. I would never have run. You know, I was never a runner at school. Last thing I'd have ever done was chosen to run. Now look at me. And that's only because of my surgery. And things change your life. And you can't expect to live the way you used to live. You have to adapt. But it doesn't have to be a negative adaptation. It can be a positive adaptation.
I think that's really very important what you've just said, because a lot of people attribute change with something negative, but it doesn't have to be. It
No.
makes space for something new, something that you might not have discovered about yourself. Like you said, you were never a runner, but look at you now.
Yes, exactly. It really is. It's like we get stuck in a rut and we follow the path that we think we should always be on. It's only when something disrupts it that we have to look at things differently.
Yeah.
And it's how we take that on board. Do we see that as, oh, I'll never do this again? You know, I'll never have a relationship again. Or it's like, no, you will.
Yeah.
It's how you approach it. There are so many people out there. You will have sport again. You will have a life again. No, it's just looking at how that works for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, let's get back to Everest, because we all know it's really high. And I think base camp is about an oxygen level 50% less to sea level. So how will you adapt? How is your training going to, what is it going to look like in the months leading up to the trek? And how will you acclimatize to that height, to that level?
Yeah, there's quite a lot involved. It's not like just training for your normal marathon, which is just about time in your legs. Obviously, time in your legs is a big, big part of it for this. But I've been talking to mountaineers and people who've walked up to Everest Base Camp before to try and get feedback for different experiences. For me, it's about cardio. The one thing I've learned from talking to people, improve your cardio. Your breathing has got to be the strongest part of you. I mean, there's three parts to it. If we think about it, you need to strengthen your physical strength. You have to have a tough mental strength. But here, we need a good cardio strength to accommodate that lack of oxygen. Yes, there's a possibility I might suffer with altitude sickness. Mm. And that's a very real thing. You can take tablets to alleviate that up there. So again, I've done a lot of research with people as to what some people have taken it. Some people have gone up there and don't need it. But there is a place in London, I've been told, which is an altitude testing place. So I may well get myself up to London and test my ability at altitude in there.
Yes.
So my training now, yes, we'd all like to run on a flat or a downhill because that's much nicer. But I need to do a lot more hill training. And I live in North Devon, so it is quite hilly here. And at the weekend I was out, I did a trail run on Sunday, which was wet, boggy, floods, the lot. But, you know, I had to get back into it again. And I think I'm going to have to build in some tough events, so some tough runs, and maybe going up to Wales to actually do some of that climbing and running. I mean, I live right on the edge of the Southwest Coast Path, so there's plenty of stretches of the Coast Path that I can use to train on as well.
And I suppose now is the best season, because I know that the trekking season is only March and May and September and November. So it's usually those uncomfortable months, I'd say.
Yes.
So I think this is about the best time to start preparing for it.
Yes. When you think I've only got 6 months, you know, that's not a lot of time to train.
Yeah. But I mean, for anybody listening, you know, you've done multiple triathlons, so it's not as if you're starting from scratch.
I would say the mental resilience from triathlon puts me at a slight step forward, really. As you say, I'm not going from scratch. My body, the muscle memory will come back from my training, so that will kick in quicker. But the mental ability from doing long distance triathlon will come into play massively with this of climbing, just climbing the mountain to start with, let alone do the run.
Yeah. And I mean, they've got massive temperature differences as well. It's not just the altitude, it's the temperatures as well. I mean,
it won't
be, you know, warm.
No, it could get a little chilly up there. And again, it's about the products I'm going to wear, you know, my Stoma products, I mean, because adhesive, if it's cold, might not stick as well. So it's little tips and tricks to heat that base flange plate under my arm or something to get that nice and warm, or use some extra adhesive that will make sure the bag stays well and truly stuck at cold temperatures. So there's little things like that that your average athlete wouldn't have to think about.
Exactly.
But for me, I do. I will say, though, there is one small advantage here, because I've been told by the organisers that obviously when you're up the mountain, you leave no trace. Let's be honest, we've talked bowels before. When they go up the mountain, they have to poo in a bag. To me, that bit's easy. So I'm well ahead of the game on that one. That's no problem.
Absolutely. No, there's a definite advantage to it. Absolutely. Yes, and as you said, the adhesive part is I mean, that's a very important part, for the bag to be stuck in place. And yes, let's talk hydration as well, because I mean that's another key thing, to be hydrated. And as a ostomate and with an ileostomy, you have to watch that even more. So
Yes, definitely you do. I mean, that's something I've always had to watch for doing Ironman triathlons. Hydration is massive because we need to keep our electrolytes topped up. So I'm used to racing in, well, let's be honest, warmer weather than I'm going to get out there. But again, the hydration is going to be massive. So for me, I know that I need to take on a third more than your average person. And I know I need to have my electrolytes. I need to be on point with whether I'm using the products that I use, which are a brand, or whether I take sort of Dioralytes, things like that, and making sure I've got really good electrolyte levels in my fluid intake, because that's going to be just as important. Because you imagine at altitude, you're going to get headaches, you're going to feel dizzy. Well, that's the same symptoms of de as dehydration. So I need to be on point with my hydration to make sure whether this is the altitude or a dehydration issue. So there's a lot more to deal with.
absolutely. And tell me, it's a group of how many people going up there with you? Four?
With ours, no, for this one, there's probably going to be about six or eight maximum in this group. It's being led by Jo Bradshaw, who is this lady who's climbed all these mountains. So she's actually leading us up, and she's one of that group.
Wow.
So, yeah, when I did hike, bike, paddle, there was only four of us doing that, but this time there's probably going to be six to eight of us doing
And
this.
medical attention, would you get medical attention? Would you be able to get medical attention if that needs to be addressed on a trek like that? How does one deal with that?
I've been advised, obviously, they have their own first aid teams that go up as well. So they're very much aware that I've got a stoma. I flagged it up. To me, it doesn't make any difference, but they just need to know. And also, because I need to carry so much stuff, they need to carry some of my spare stoma supplies on the Sherpas, because I can't carry, we're away for 18 days, so I can't carry 18 days worth of stoma supplies on my back.
No.
So I've already discussed with them about how that's transported day to day through the trek. But I would just keep a few on me like I normally do. So yeah, there's quite a lot more to factor into the planning, shall we say.
Yeah. No, I get that. It's a huge undertaking, a huge project, and I've had a lot of inspiring people on the show previously who've done similar in well, adventures. It's not just an adventure. It's a mission, I'd say, as well. It's a calling, because I've had Jill Castle on. She was the first ostomate person with an ostomy to swim the English Channel, and she's just climbed Mount Kilimanjaro as well.
Yes, I saw. It's fantastic. And she had a group of ostomates.
14 ostomates, and I had well, both of them. I had two of them out of that group on my show, and it was
Brilliant.
just so incredible, because I did a Dansec sponsored seasonal October show for World Ostomy Awareness Day, and my last guest, she is aiming to climb Mount Kilimanjaro December now, end of the year,
Wow, yes,
and
brilliant.
so there is just it's. Well, we're all in very good company, because it's not just in Africa, it's also the big mountains that can be climbed. And I'm sure you're going to be the first ostomate up Everest.
Well, I don't think I'm going to be the first one to the top of Everest, but I probably might be the first one to run that Everest marathon. But so it's quite funny for me because this year, not only the hike, bike, paddle, I was taken caving. So I found in this year I've been underground, and next year I'm going to be overground, really up in the sky.
Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Good. optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle Magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
You know, we all have bucket lists. If we're honest, we all have bucket lists that also change. They don't always have to, it doesn't always have to be the same thing, or it doesn't have to be the cliches, because I'm sure a while back it wasn't on your bucket list, Mount Everest.
No, I can't say climbing Everest was a bucket list thing for me.
No, but I think a list is important.
Yeah.
I think it's something to strive for, and it can also be, it can be adapted and changed, but yes. I think it's important to have, because to me that symbolizes purpose and ambition and motivation. It's so many things all encapsulated in that word bucket list.
Yeah, it gives you something to always strive for, doesn't it? It keeps you moving, keeps you motivated, most definitely. And they don't have to be big. It could be small things. It could be having a holiday somewhere. It could be going on a cruise. It could be, I don't know, one on my list is to do a wing walk on a plane, but
wow.
I haven't done that yet. That was one that I thought I might actually get around to doing.
Now, wing walk on a plane, but not on the plane in the air, I suppose.
Yeah, you stand on top of the plane and then they fly with you tethered to the top of it. So that was on my list. I haven't done that one yet.
My goodness. Well, I mean, look, knowing you, you know, the sky's the limit. And I mean, you're really going high in the beginning of next year. So, well, we're going to keep watching, because, it's something that, well, I find truly inspiring, and I'm sure my listeners as well. So just take us back to mindset, because I think mindset, you've just said it, as a triathlete, you've got a totally different mindset. And I remember when I spoke to Jill Castle, she also said it was so important, because she swam, she could not she couldn't even stop properly. You know, it was just that mindset. And she says, it would have been 1 second where she doubted herself, it would have been the end of it. So she actually saw herself at the end in France, stepping foot on French soil. And she said that is what she focused on the whole time. So how are you going to train your mindset, or how do you train your mindset for your adventures?
She's absolutely bang on with that. It's visualization. You have to visualize yourself reaching that goal, because then that is part of your training. You keep seeing yourself do it. So when you get to those dark moments, you can go, no, I know I can cross this. You have such self-belief that you can do this. And I'm not doubting this is going to be hard, and there will be bits that are tough. But I'm doing this with a group, even on hike, bike, paddle. You know, there were some really hard bits. And yet the support the others around me is equally good. They were very good. They said, well, you know, what? How will it affect you? What should we look out for? And I could say to them, I know once I start to struggle, if I'm not eating enough or hydrating enough, I will start going quiet. I will go inward. That's what you need to look for in me. So I know what my signals are going to be. And I tell others so that we support one another. As I say, this isn't just around me. This is a group of women all going up this mountain. And we're there to support one another. And I think that's key. But keeping that visualization of you finishing, that's the big, big goal.
Absolutely.
Because I'm not going back to try and do it a second time.
No, I couldn't. First of all, I don't think you would have to, but I think, you know, once you've gone that far, you also want to finish it, obviously.
Absolutely.
But it's you know, it's not like I said, you know, it's higher than the highest mountain in Europe. So base camp is very high. It's
1,300 meters.
My gosh, yeah. But what a way to actually start the new year. I'm going to be watching, obviously, from afar, but
I will share updates on my social media for sure. So with my training and stuff.
Talking about social media, just share your social media handle for all those listening that want to follow you.
Yeah, the best one would be my Instagram, which is Caroline_IronOstomy_Bramwell.
Okay.
So all right. Caroline IronOstomy Bramwell. I will be sharing it all on there.
Now, I often speak to other ostomates, fellow ostomates, and I was invited to speak at St. Mark's Bowel Institute to speak to fellow ostomates. And what would your message be to somebody who has just had ostomy surgery? Because I think it's so important to get a focus on what your life could be like, and it's important to see how others live their life.
Yeah. I think the important thing with somebody who's just come through that surgery is to not overwhelm them with all these massive, wonderful things you're going to do, because in that moment, they can't see that. They just want to see that they can get through this week. So it's remembering that for them, their first achievement might be comfortably changing their bag. It might be feeling confident to go out or go and change a bag in a public toilet. You know, their goals will be really tiny little things at the moment. So it's about understanding the mindset they would be in and not overwhelming them with the big stuff. It's just saying life will improve. It will take time. And I think any new ostomate has to learn that, you know, it's going to take time to get used to this and come to terms with it, accept it, and then live with it, but in a positive way. Yeah. So, yeah.
And then I suppose also celebrate those achievements.
Yes.
No matter how small they are in your head, they are still achievements, because I remember for me, it was a big achievement to fly to South Africa from the UK 6 weeks after stoma surgery. All by myself, even though I'd been a flight attendant for 30 years, it was a massive undertaking for me, because I was all by myself and it was 6 weeks post-surgery.
Wow.
But afterwards, I felt so proud. And it's also, I think it's important to also feel proud of yourself, what you've achieved, be it climbing the stairs up your in your house after surgery, which I found extremely difficult, to stepping on a plane or going for a walk.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's these little things that people don't know they're going to be able to do, but they become normal. They will become normal, but it just takes time for them. But as you say, celebrate each time you do it. You know, going out for dinner with somebody. Great, I've been out. I've been to a restaurant. Nothing bad happened. For me, it was actually using the public toilet when I had my stoma surgery and I had two small children. And to me, I was like, oh my God, what if I have to change my bag when I'm out? But having two small children who weren't fussed at all, they were actually fascinated by it and being in a big cubicle. And I thought, well, they're not bothered. Yeah. Why am I worried? And of course, now it doesn't bother me in the slightest.
Yeah. But it's all, I suppose, always important to self-reflect and analyze, and know that things can also be, like we gathered earlier on, even if there is change, it doesn't always have to be negative. It depends on your outlook as well.
It does.
I always say, you know, happiness is an inside job.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we have to remember that people's reasons why they've got their stoma are all different. They're mentally, they may be in a different place. They might not have known they were going to have a stoma, or they knew someone with one and have only heard horror stories. You know, people's mindsets are very different. They don't all see having a stoma as a lifesaver. So, yes, everyone has to work with it, which is why it's so important to have somebody to talk to, like yourself.
I liked what you said earlier on about preparing to go up Mount Everest, where you actually said you are with you, with the people that are going with you, you've told them what to look out for in case you are running into problems.
Yeah.
Now, that can be taken to heart for anybody in any setting, because especially once you've had ostomy surgery, it's obviously a very private thing, but you've got an immediate family, you've got your support network around you. And I think it's important for them to know what's going on with you, because only then can they actually react or help you. Because I find a lot of people are also fearful of the subject. They don't know how to approach it if their loved one had ostomy surgery, because for fear of saying something wrong, they might not say anything at all. So I think it's for the ostomate, it's important to actually also voice that.
Yeah, absolutely. Be open and communicate, because people do understand. Often our fear is only our own fear. Other people don't worry. Yeah. You know, bag leaks, problem like that. You know, I've had that happen. My husband's like, don't worry, strip the bed, off we go, not a problem. People understand these things can happen, and you shouldn't feel bad about it, you know, because people will support you.
Yeah, exactly. And you might be surprised where the support comes from.
Yeah, yeah, you know. Very much so.
Yeah, and even if you've perhaps previously not been one to ask for help, you know, a lot of people want to give help. They're out there to help, and
yes,
they do it, they do it gladly.
Yeah, absolutely. People do want to help. They just need to know how. And that's why you need to be able to tell people, you know, you could say to them, I'm fine on a day-to-day basis, but I just get a bit anxious when this happens or this scenario. If people understand, they can help just morally and mentally.
Yeah. Now, we're almost at the end of the show, but I want you to visualize standing at Everest Base Camp.
Yes.
Having run your marathon. Now, what does that achievement represent to you? What do you think you are going to feel up there?
I will probably be crying. Let's be honest. I think to me it's very emotional. To achieve things like this is emotional. Mm-hmm. And to have done it, I will feel so pleased with myself for having pushed through some of the probably the toughest things I've ever done, tougher than my surgery for sure. But I think it's that getting to the end, and I visualise myself at the end of that marathon and going, you literally turn around, look back, look at the path you've just come through and went, I did that. And that to me is when you can feel so proud of yourself. And as I say, I'll cry. I get teary even talking about it. But I'm a crier. And so it will be an emotional thing. It really will. Mm. And then I just need to absorb it, let that sink in of what I've done.
I couldn't think of anything more symbolic of a way, a path you've taken, and to be at Mount Everest. I mean, that's really truly symbolic for I think, you know, synonymous with everybody's path. You know, we've all got our journeys in life, and to do it in that aspect is just wow. I think I'll be all teary as well.
If you ever get me back on afterwards, I'll probably just blub.
Well, I'm inviting you to come afterwards, because I think that is going to be a story in itself, because I'm sure we'll be discussing things that we might not even have thought of now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, believe me. I want to push the boundaries. I want to test what it's like with a stoma to do this sort of stuff, because who knows? Who knows?
Caroline, it's been such a pleasure having you back on Stoma for Life. You always bring such inspiration and honesty to the conversation. And I know your story will touch so many people who are listening today. So thank you so much for reminding us that life after surgery truly can be the start of something amazing, and that every step forward, no matter how small, matters. So I'm wishing you luck from the bottom of my heart, Caroline, as you take on to this incredible challenge on climbing and running Mount Everest. You've got this.
Thank you. We've got this. Osmonds have got this.
Thank you so much. Take care. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.